Welcome to Mac Voices number 503. We're the talk of the Macintosh community, and I'm Chuck Joyner, your host. A little later, we'll tell you about the Mug Center's hotel deal for Macworld Expo in San Francisco, but first, we're going to talk to Michael Corrigan, one of the organizers of the Macintosh User Group stand for the upcoming Mac Expo in London. Michael gives us an idea of what it takes to put together a stand, or booth, as we would say in the United States, what kind of things they'll be doing to attract people, and the reaction they've had in the past to some of their efforts. When Michael and I talked, I started out by incorrectly identifying him as the current chairman of the London Macintosh Users Group.
You're looking at the past. I'm no longer chairman of London Mac User Group, and I'm only an ordinary member of London and Wessex Mac User Groups. But what I have done is to take it on myself to attempt to publicize Macintosh user groups in the UK and Ireland, initially by spreading the remit of what was essentially the London Mac user group stand at the Macintosh exhibitions to incorporate contacts with other user groups. This has grown to the extent now that we have volunteers from user groups over the country coming to work on the stand for two-hour shifts during the 3 days of the exhibition. Do your arithmetic, you'll see that there are, in fact, 60 slots during an eight-hour day over the 3 days. And there is a certain amount of doubling up, certainly from London members, but we do have good support from Yorkshire, from Oxford, which is, of course, a lot nearer. And then there are other user groups that come along. They come from time to time. They don't come to every exhibition. Sussex, Wessex, the three C's, which is Bedford, Bucks and Hertfordshire. I can't think offhand of many of the others, but we do have people, and this year we've got somebody on the stand from Club Mac, which is the Republic of Ireland Mac user group. And we have made contact with pretty well all of them. And, of course, as in all things voluntary, it's a kaleidoscope that shifts and changes over time. So that user groups, which were quite powerful, tend to wane, and vice versa. This is often a concomitant of the organizer running the group losing interest after a period of time when, having done everything, they realize that they are, in fact, doing everything, and every other person is sitting back on their backside, taking and not giving. That usually runs in the four-year cycle. But looking at the history of the stand itself, initially there was a Macintosh exhibition in London's Olympia Exhibition Hall, and this was an organizer who, and I don't know how, was persuaded to give a small stand in an unimportant position to London Macintosh User Group for the purpose of advertising the group and thereby recruiting new members. Now, this donation of a stand has continued down to the present day, and of course, it's usually in an unimportant position, but having said that, there are times when it is absolutely heaving, and we've had as many as seven volunteers on the stand, all trying to talk to interested Macintosh users who've caught sight of what you might call a lifeline, certainly a line to other interested Mac users and people who are in a Mac user group know what I'm talking about.
Michael, what do you think will be the biggest attraction at the booth? Just the fact that you are there to give some support and assistance and to introduce people to user groups, or do you have some special activities planned?
Well, that has been the case in the past. We are hoping that the introduction of a photographic competition, which is open to all comers and not limited to users of Macintosh user groups, will also prove a draw, and not so much a draw at the exhibition as a longer-lasting effect that will continue certainly into the new year. People who don't know about Macintosh user groups, walk by the stand. Macintosh users are dedicated, and they will penetrate to the furthest corners of any exhibition to see what's going, to see if there's anything new, if there are any giveaways. And some people just collect carrier bags and leaflets. And as they go by, they are hailed by the volunteers who ask them if they are members of a group or if there's a group near them, because that is coupled to a map or two maps on the wall of the stand, which show the whereabouts, the approximate whereabouts of the user groups that we know of in the UK and Ireland. So the way that we capture people's attention is by asking, is there a user group near you? Where are you from? Oh, is there a group there? Well, oh, yes, fine. Well, would you like us to pass your details on? And then they can get in touch with you. And we don't get 100% positive response. Some people are, in fact, very, very cagey. They won't give their name. They won't give their email address. They think we're going to try and sell them something. But what, in fact, happens with a successful inquiry is that the inquirer has his details taken down, name, first part of the postcode, so as not to be too specific, and if they have an email address, otherwise a telephone. If they have neither, then we do have to have their postal address, and their nearest user group, or if there isn't one, that is also shown. After the show, the 200-300 or so inquiries that have accumulated over the course of the 3 days are collated on a database, and the results sent to the specific user groups that are mentioned, or in the case of an area where there isn't a user group, shall we say, for example, as has happened previously in Bath and Bristol, the Avon area, where there were, I think, from memory, on one occasion, 9 people who expressed an interest in joining a group. These people were sent an email which had no addresses on, all the addresses were BCC, and asked for their permission to circulate their addresses each to the other with the intention of them getting together to form a user group. That didn't work in Bath, it didn't work in Kent, but it certainly worked in Oxford, and it certainly worked in the Three Seas counties. Those are two thriving user groups that have grown from that initial outcome. Interestingly, Mac Format magazine, seeing that Mac User were writing profiles of user groups, wanted to get on the bandwagon and gave their new assistant editor the task of forming a new user group in the area, which happened to be Bath and Bristol, which is where they publish. And I went along to the second meeting, and it seems to be getting off to quite a good start. And Mac Format are, in fact, funding the venue for I don't know how long, but it does mean that they are tied in a way to Mac Format. And when the photo competition that I mentioned earlier, which was to be sponsored by Mac User, was mentioned to them, the organizer said, well, he couldn't recommend his members to take part because it was sponsored by a rival magazine, so that there was a clash of interests. The simple answer would be to refer them to the new Mac User Group website, and hopefully that will happen in a lot of cases.
Michael, what's your sense in that situation? And here in the United States, we certainly have groups, and that's not fair. Around the world, we have groups focused on a particular program or a particular specialty, but I'm not sure we have any groups that are strictly organized by a company. I can only think of one other, and that's long gone by now. There seems to be some opportunity there in that situation, but as you just pointed out, there seem to be some dangers. Any particular feeling?
The intention is, Chuck, if you don't mind my interrupting, that ultimately Bristol and Bath will break away from the sponsorship and it'll become self-supporting. That the guy who's running it will step down. I suggested that he sets about forming a committee as quickly as he can and avoids the pitfalls of doing everything himself, which is one particular hole that it's easy to fall into if you have any dynamism about you, because frequently dynamic people chafe when they have to work under the restraints of a committee. They say a camel is a horse designed by committee, and that's the case often.
I like that, Michael. That, and it's very true. And you do find dynamic people in positions of leadership in user groups.
Sure. This is how they get onto the ground. But as I say, I hope that this particular user group, which is quite unusual, is going to become independent. It depends on how well it's run. But, of course, from the off, they've had an immense advantage that Mac format have been able to supply all sorts of new kit for them to look at and drum up speakers to come along and show stuff and talk about stuff. I don't know. That was the first two meetings. I hope to see Russell James, the assistant editor at Mac Expo, and see how his third meeting is going to go. I may even go up there. It's about an hour and a half's ride from here.
Michael, other than the user group stand, which will obviously, to many of our listeners, be a highlight for Mac Expo, what else do you expect to see there, and what kind of crowd does it draw, and what's the general feel of the show?
What I expect to see there? Well, I don't have any expectations because I'm not, I suppose, what you might term a Mac head. I'm very keen and enthusiastic, and I'm a keen proselytizer for the Mac and Mac OS. But I'm not one of the people who jumps on the latest developments, must have whatever has just come out. I plod along quite happily with some not ancient stuff, but to give you an indicator, when I was in business, my business ran on Mac, on Apple II GSs for many years after the introduction of the Mac. They did what we wanted. We had no need to change. And similarly with the setup that I have personally at the moment. So I have no anticipation of what might be at Mac Expo. I would think there might be an upgrade of the operating system, possibly another iteration, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow the rumor mills. I don't look to see what is forecast because it's a waste of time. As far as I'm concerned.
How about the exhibitors, the kind of exhibitors that end up at Mac Expo in London? Is it the same that you see the world over, or do you see a lot of local or UK-only companies coming out to show support for the Mac?
Oh, yes, there are a great deal of UK companies. The exhibitor list that has been published so far doesn't give any clues about the country of origin of the exhibitor. And in fact, the only exhibitor list that I've seen was in Mac User magazine. And for some strange reason, the Macintosh User Group stand wasn't listed. I had noticed an interesting difference between Mac Expo in London and in Paris. In Paris, there were a great number of medical software houses showing. And it would appear that Apple has a stronger presence in the medical profession in France than it has in the UK, where practically every doctor's surgery is running on a Windows-based system.
So is Mac Expo a bit more of a professional-level trade show, or is it a bit more consumer?
I think it's primarily consumer.
I find the idea of medical software being a top exhibitor strange at a consumer show.
Well, that was in Paris.
Oh, excuse me, that was in Paris.
And also in Paris, and I haven't been to Paris since Mac Expo got big over here. We used to organize a trip to Paris, but the appetite fell away as the London show grew. And it was very nice to have a little trip out to Paris and to enjoy walking around a totally different environment. But it was a bit expensive to do. And when you consider that some people might have to come down from Scotland or across from Northern Ireland, it just wasn't within the reach of most people's pockets. In fact, coming to London is extremely expensive by train from the outer reaches of Britain. You're looking at a return fare of perhaps £120 from Scotland. That's a lot of dollars.
That is a lot of dollars. Well, Michael, it sounds like you've organized a terrific user group presence at Mac Expo.
Well, it wasn't. I can't say, when you say you, that doesn't mean me. It means that London have persisted and the other groups have responded. And it's not being driven by any one person. People have pitched in to help man the stand. They have pitched in to do the graphics for the stand, regardless of user group. Some user groups you might not even think were alive. In fact, you might have to take oxygen to them. Other user groups are totally dynamic and on the buzz all the time. So, and some of the lively user groups don't participate, and of course the somnolent ones don't participate either. So it comes down, as within a user group, to a nucleus of activists.
And one of the best things I think about this, though, is that you've really created the scenario, and I understand we don't just mean you, but all the organizers have created the scenario of the stand and have opened it up to any group that wants to participate. If they want to come, great. If they don't, then that's their prerogative.
Yes, we had a little trouble this time. The very meticulous lady that is Secretary of London, and London, understandably, undertakes the organization of the stand, the provision of such furniture is needed, of such graphics that is needed, the lighting. In fact, London bought the lighting last year or the year before, rather than hiring it out every year. This particular lady, as I say, very meticulous, got very upset when, instead of having volunteers nodded through the reception desks, as had happened in the past at the other venue, she was told that she couldn't have the 50 passes that she'd asked for the 60 slots that we had. She could have 10. And as a sop, 20 complimentary one-off tickets. Well, you know, that's no good. And we've been trying to get to the organizer to see if he will soften. It's not as if we're doing anything that we'd different to what we'd done previously, just that they moved the goalposts, and they moved them rather late in the day, because we naturally have to organize these things a couple of months in advance, and we didn't know until the last couple of weeks.
And that can be a real challenge when you're operating with volunteers.
Yes. One of the draws, of course, is that the volunteers don't have to register early to get pre-admission. They can just put their hand up and say they're coming along, and they get, in the past, they've been getting free into the show. Well, given the attendance is perhaps 20,000, I think 50 is not a large price to pay for the presence of the user groups. But I haven't been able to speak to the organizer. It's a guy that I know not terribly well, but I have known him in the past because we were both in the exhibition industry.
Well, maybe he'll hear this and come to understand just the kind of audience that user groups represent and how important they can be to the show.
You say that, and I like to think it too. But in reality, user groups, very few user groups, get off their backsides enough to organize trips to the show. That would be quite feasible and would save money. But it tends to be visits by individuals. Two user groups that I can think of, again, Yorkshire and Oxford, two lively groups, they organise trips up to the show, or down to the show from Yorkshire. But the others don't. And that's possibly something worth thinking about. We did have discussions with the organisers a couple of years ago about organising transport from Scotland and from Northern Ireland. But I think when they saw the potential costs against a potential return, I think they quailed and fell away from the idea.
But not just the organization of trips, but just the encouragement of people to go to a Mac Expo or to be aware of what's going on in the Apple and Macintosh world and create that desire to go. Maybe not to this specific show, but just to anything that is Apple or Macintosh related in general is a very key
one. We have the photo competition, we'll do. Ideas for another competition as well, but we haven't come up with one yet, because as I think I mentioned earlier, the photo competition was to have been sponsored by Macuser magazine. But I think they started counting on their fingers to see what they were getting in return, And I think they then decided that they weren't going to get enough return for what they were putting in, which was in terms of print production, poster production, and free advertising in their magazine. The upside of that is that now we're going to put press releases out to all four magazines instead of being tied to one.
Michael, tell us a little bit before we go about the photo competition and exactly how it's going to operate.
Yes. The photo competition is open to all comers, and they will be given entry forms at the show. They will be able to download entry forms from the UK Macintosh user website and from as many websites as user groups are prepared to put the forms on. Not all user groups have websites either, as an aside. And they will then need to get a verification number from their nearest user group. This is a ploy designed to put them in contact with the user group. So they phone up or email a user group, say, you know, I want to enter the competition. And it's then up to the user group to charm them to come in. Say, hey, you're interested in photography? Well, we're going to be running a photography thing. Or you're interested in Mac? Oh, well, we can help. And I have no high hopes for a big take-up, but I do intend that this will be an annual competition. And so once they have the verification number, then they can send in their entry form, either electronically or by post. The show, the entries will close, I think, on the 10th of January, and it will allow a month for to get them assembled and judged and then make an announcement. I was told today by Adobe that Photoshop Elements is a prize that we can have. One of our group people from Oxford has kindly donated a copy of Tiger. He overbought for his business. And there's going to be a subscription to the Mac magazine of the winner's choice. There are three prizes and four categories. That's going to be fun.
It's a great idea. Digital photography is something that is so ingrained into the iLife concept and to Mac, and it's something that everyone enjoys getting into, whether they're an amateur or a professional. So it's a wonderful idea.
Very much so. And if we can open the eyes of user groups to the potential of bringing in new people by showing them how to use their cameras and how to combine them with their computers, even if only to look at unmanipulated images, that's going to be something. I mean, I have here a camera that belongs to a friend. She's going off to Australia at the end of the week. She's got photographs on there of her granddaughter's christening. She didn't know how to take them off. She wanted to get the card cleared. Would I do it for her? Difficult. I don't know how difficult it is to do on a PC.
You wouldn't think very.
Anyway, so this is something you know to pass on to the groups. But it depends so much on the individuality of the group, doesn't it?
Michael, for the listeners who'd like to learn more about not just this, but also the efforts you are involved in trying to bring the groups there together, is there one particular website that they can visit or one that you would steer them to?
Yeah. www.macusersuk, all one word, .org.
And that lists all the groups that are participating?
I don't know whether they're participating. They've been asked to. I have taken silence as assent. I have emailed them all and said if there's any group that has any problems, would they please let me know. But there are some groups that remain obstinately dumb regardless of what you send them. You might just as well be shouting down a well. My own preferred metaphor is like getting reaction from groups is like throwing stones into a pond of treacle.
We've been talking to Michael Corgan, one of the organizers, and he would stress one of the organizers of the Macintosh User Group stand at Mac Expo in London. If you are in London or going to be in London for Mac Expo, be sure to stop by, seek out Michael if he's there, or at least say hello to the volunteers. Don't be hesitant. They aren't trying to sell you anything. They're just trying to educate everyone about Mac user groups. Michael, I know it's late there. Thank you so much for staying up and taking the time to chat with us. We really appreciate it.
All right.
Good luck.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and it'll be nice to find out if anybody comes as a result of your efforts.
Well, we certainly hope that they at least come up and say hello.
Well, I hope so, too.
If you're planning on attending Macworld Conference and Expo in San Francisco in January, I want to be sure to remind you that you can get on the show floor for free or take 15% off the cost of any conference package by using the special Mug Center discount code of H0701. All you have to do is visit macworldexpo.com and register using that code, and you'll get into the show for nothing, or save 15% on the Power Tools, Mac IT, Users, or Hands-On Mac Labs conference packages. When you come, you'll need some place to stay, and we can point you in the direction of two special offers for user groups. First, Macworld Expo arranged a special user group discount rate of $89 per night at the Hotel Britain. To take advantage of that offer, you can go through the Macworld Expo website and use the code, and it is a different one, of H0101. The Mug Center has also arranged a discount of our very own with the Renaissance Park 55, and this might just be the best deal at Expo if your interest lies in the direction of four-star accommodations. You can join us at the Renaissance Park 55 for $159 per night, including free high-speed internet access and a 10% discount on dining at any of the hotel's fine restaurants. But that's not a lot different than some of the other offers out there already, right? What makes this offer special are two things. First, the longer you stay, the more money you save. If you want to come to San Francisco and enjoy the sights of the city before and after Expo, you can save $150 off your final bill if you stay 9 nights. 8 nights will save you $100 off your final bill, and if you're there only for the show, then you can save $50 off for a 7-night stay. But what makes this offer even better is that we've partnered with several of our favorite vendors to help make attending Macworld Expo with the Mug Center an even better deal. If you reserve and stay under the terms of the code, we've arranged to have you take home some goodies. Each room reserved will receive, from Amuse, one copy of Serene Saber, from Circus Ponies, one license for Notebook 2.0, from Mesa Dynamics, one free license to Ticker Shock, from O'Reilly, one free book of your choice, and from Tropical Software, one free license to TopX Notes. You can get all the details of the offer on the Mug Center at mugcenter.com or look for the link on the show notes on the Mac Voices website. But you won't want to wait too long. Our room block for this offer is limited. So if you want to be part of it, email me as soon as possible at chuck@macnotables.com. Reservations will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis, and you must go through me to get the discount. Macworld Expo is going to be a terrific event this year, and having the Renaissance Park 55 as your base of operations will only make it better. I hope you'll join us. Finally, there's one other piece of information we want to share, and that's a little analysis we did from the Mug Center's Mug Event Calendar. Have you ever wondered who the leaders are in presentations to Mac user groups? The Mug Event Calendar isn't necessarily comprehensive, but it's a great place to start, so that's what we did, started counting. And the winners are: in third place, with a total of 8 user group stops through September, Elizabeth Statmore and Jason Adams of Circus Ponies, showing off Notebook 2.0. In second place, with an amazing 21 user group presentations, is our friend James Lee of Tropical Software. Jim's user group tours in Florida, Georgia, Texas, and California have brought plenty of attention to their flagship product, TopX Notes. And who's number one? Who do you think? Even though they don't get nearly enough credit for their support of user groups, Apple representatives have booked a total of 48 appearances at user groups around the world through September. Leading the way is the dynamic Apple senior systems engineer, Dave Mara, with 13 user group shows this year alone. Other popular and regular Apple presenters include Joe Cox of Apple Australia, John Allen, Michael Mills, Jack Quattlebaum, Francis Shepard, and many more. Remember, those were the top three. There are plenty of other companies like Adobe, Microsoft, Midnight Mage Software, ProSoft Engineering, Rogue Amoeba, Stone Studio, MacSpeech, Corel, MacKiev, and a host of others that have made more than one appearance at user groups in 2005, and we still have 3 months left to tally, since those results were only through September. So, the talk of the Mac community this week is the Mac User Group stand at Mac Expo in London, the Mug Center's Macworld Hotel deal, and the top presenters to user groups throughout the world. I hope you enjoyed hearing from our guest, Michael Corgan, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to comment or have feedback, please send me an email to chuck@macvoices.com or call our talkback line at 206-350-1371. I'd also like to invite you to check out the other podcast I'm involved with, and that's Mac Notables, the show where you hear from the Mac experts you really want to hear from. You can find Mac Notables on the iTunes Music Store or on the dedicated website, macnotables.com. I'm Chuck Joyner, and I'll see you again soon for another edition of Mac Voices.